Welcome to the SPU Voices podcast, where we tell personal stories with universal impact. I'm your host, Amanda Stubbert, and today we sat down with Todd Yansambun. He's currently in his final quarter at SPU. He's an international student from Thailand. Todd left his home at the age of 15 to attend high school in the U.S. in pursuit of his overarching goal to understand business and how business can help others. After 4 years of high school in four different U.S. states, Todd arrived on the SPU campus to study business administration and found his dreams all coming true until COVID hit. Forced to return home without much hope of returning to the U.S., Todd turned to social media for community and support. He is now a true influencer with over 1 million subscribers, and his videos have been viewed over 200 million times. Todd, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi. Thank you so much, Amanda, for having me here today.
Well, when we first met, I was blown away with your decision not to just attend high school in another country, but to attend four different high schools across the country. What made you take on this huge challenge?
It's definitely that my parents have given me the opportunity and I want to take it to see where this like will bring me. At first, I have, of course, kind of like concerned, like, oh, what if this is like not working out? But I did believe that my parents is like gonna support me always.
Yeah.
So I took the decision to come to the US, right? And then the first year was kind of like a lot of like adapting, having to deal with cultural shock, I would say.
Yeah.
And then the language barrier. Yeah.
And then what made you want to be in four different high schools?
Oh, the thing is, the first year in the U.S., I was in upstate New York, in this city called Fabius. It's like a very, very small town. It was like a countryside, and then like 5 minutes next to like the ski place, which is kind of like tell how high up we are. And then that first year, I had to leave because it was an exchange program.
Oh, okay.
So it was only like 1 year, and then I have to leave. And then that first year after that, I wanted to just go back to Thailand because it was kind of rough.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, why did I have to deal with all of like the changes and everything? But then my mom and my dad convinced me to like go back to the US. Like, hey, you should take all the opportunity, right? So then, which I did. So then I went to Minnesota, kind of like, I wouldn't say that it was like a bad choice, but but it was very cold,
yeah. Right?
And then I didn't really have a great time there in terms of like, I was already kind of like have the negative thought because I didn't want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it seems like, and it did, was like my experience was like not good in terms of like interacting with people. Like they weren't too kind to me and such. So then I was kind of like destined to like more, like a better place that I feel more belong to, which is why I came to Seattle and then finished my high school in Seattle.
I am just blown away by your courage and your stick-to-itiveness that instead of saying, okay, I tried this twice and it's not going so well, you're like, no, third time's a charm. Yeah. I'm gonna keep working towards my goal.
Yeah, I always feel like whenever I fall down, I have to get up always. I don't want to just like lay down on the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to keep going for sure. I feel like it's, you know, someone asked you to run a 5K and you said, nope, marathon. You know, I'm gonna keep going.
Yeah.
So all your hard work was working for you and you end up at SPU. Tell us what it's like when you first came to SPU.
So when I first had my first visit at SPU, I was still in high school at Kennedy Catholic High School in Berrien, still in Washington.
Yeah.
And I thought like, I really felt like, oh, this is something. I love the campus. I love the surrounding, the atmosphere. And I just like visited the dorms, which is like include like Ashton, Emerson, Hill.
Yeah.
And also Arnett, I think. And I was like, ooh, this is cool. I want to be in Arnett. I ended up being in Ashton, which is fine. I loved Ashton. SPU offered me a scholarship, which other universities didn't. So that's kind of like one of the main reasons why I chose SPU. So yeah.
Yeah. So when you came and started college at SPU, was it everything you wanted? I mean, you had worked so hard to be able to attend a U.S. college and study business. Did it feel like this? You were getting what you were working for?
I honestly have questioned myself a lot of times when great things happen, that like, do I deserve this?
Oh.
I just feel like, okay, I know that I have worked hard, but like, do I deserve this? Which is kind of like, I don't know. Just sometimes I feel like, oh, this thing is so great at happening to me. Yeah, I still question that a lot, I'm gonna lie. Yeah.
So you came to SPU, it was everything that you wanted,
exactly,
but you immediately began to say, wait, do I really deserve all these things to go well?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And of course, sometimes when you look at the world that way, then things can happen, and COVID happened.
Yeah. So yeah. Then that really like kind of like, okay, it just hit me really hard with the COVID stuff. When the things were like, oh, so great and such. And suddenly I just felt like I just like fell down the hill.
Yeah.
Without like knowing that there was a hill. And then my life just suddenly just kind of like gone for a second, I would say. I had to like return home, as you mentioned. And then I had to attend class like midnight to 3 a.m. due to the time difference. It was 14 hours different.
Mm-hmm.
In Thailand, we are 14 hours ahead. So then, we would attend class late at night. And then I didn't realize how much it like affect my mental health and mm-hmm. also like physically until I attend for like one quarter. And I just felt like really bad. I couldn't eat much. And then I just felt like extremely stressed. And my parents were unaware of like what was going on until I actually can't eat anymore. Of course, I was like eating something, but like in a very small portion, like mm-hmm. a very concerning portion.
Yeah.
Which is why like they sent me to the hospital, get checked up. Nothing wrong. My body was fine. Kind of like, okay, if my body is like normal, then maybe my mind is not.
Right.
So I kind of like took a hard turn on that because it was like a self-learning. And nobody was like aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Then I didn't know what to do with it besides try to be less stressed.
Right, right. Yeah. But clinical depression, just saying to yourself, don't be depressed.
Right.
It's not always good enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You told me a story about your birthday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So when we got sent home, right, because SPU spring quarter got canceled, so mm-hmm. I went home. And had to quarantine for 14 days. And during that 14 days, one of the day was my birthday. And I had to kind of like celebrate myself on that birthday. I'm not sure how old I was, maybe 20, I think.
Yeah, your 20th birthday, back home, stuck in your room all by yourself with all your dreams having come to a halt, falling down the hill, like you said. Just a super low moment. I think we can all understand feeling that way and feeling like what was the point of all these hard years that you put in. So at that moment, what made you turn to social media?
So I think it's important to mention that I've been growing up like very enjoy watching YouTube stuff or like just funny videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're not alone.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people grew up enjoying those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also was like, my dream job was like, oh, to become a YouTuber one day. It was like a childhood job. Like, oh, I want to grow up and become a YouTuber. And then I just like realize every time I feel sad or feel down, I can like come back to this screen and just kind of like watch the videos for like a long time. Basically, it was just like not the tech, like not good for you, but if you limit yourself, then it's fine.
Yes.
So then, you know, I had a time at home in my room. I was just like watching videos, like, oh, this is really helpful. Kind of like get me throughout the day. And when I felt like really, you know, when I was going through like depression and stuff, I was like, okay, maybe I could do something similar to kind of like spread awareness of both like mental health and also to help people who's like going through similar things as me.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when I decided to like, okay, let's just try post something, right? And then I didn't really do much besides just being myself. And then just my first video that went viral was when I did the parody of a song. It was like a Japanese song, a like funny song. I was just gonna like sing and then made a parody out of it. And I posted and then I went to bed, right? And I woke up with like millions of views. I was like, oh gosh, what is this? This is like, again, do I deserve this? Mm. Right? And then, but like, I made millions of people happy, right? So then, like, maybe I do, right?
Maybe you do deserve it. Maybe you do deserve a million views, right? And being able to make other people happy. So I think a lot of people spend time on social media and the effect is exclusionary, right? You get this feeling like everybody's having more fun than you. Everybody has more friends than you. Everybody's going on more trips than you. And yet here you were feeling alone, and then all of a sudden you weren't alone, right? You were sharing this time of your life with so many other people. Talk us through how that felt when the first video went viral and then the second and the third. How did that feel to a kid stuck alone in a room?
Right. So it honestly felt great.
Yeah.
But then also it's kind of like very, kind of like confirm that being unique and being yourself is a good thing. Because I questioned myself a lot growing up. So I would be like this kid who's like kind of a little crazy in terms of like have this energy and then just go around saying hi to people kind of thing. And then would just be like talking about some too positive stuff, I would say. And then people are like, oh, be realistic kind of thing. But I was like, I don't think it's bad to be like optimistic, right? And then, so I kind of confirmed that like, okay, being myself is great. And then it kind of like confirmed even more in the second video, the third video, the fourth video, it's keep coming up that the ideas I had was great. It was like not what people have told me that was like, ooh, this is kind of cringe. I don't think this is like going to go anywhere. But nowadays you don't know what's good or what's bad in terms of like content. There are so many people that have access to it and you're going to find your own audience either way.
Right. So you had just spent these years in small towns, in high schools that, you know, we all know high school kids can be very cruel if you're different in any way, shape or form. And we're all different, so that doesn't make sense. But so you've gone through all those trials and now all of a sudden you're not just getting rewarded, you're making a career out of being exactly who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was honestly very, I'm so grateful and so fortunate to have all of this.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people want to study business and maybe they even want to change the world somehow with their business. But your goal to me seems very unique. It's to use business to help others. Can you talk about what that means?
Yeah. So I grew up with this problem where I have so low self-esteem because people do judge, right? And people do say mean things. I was like, ooh, maybe I should just try to just be normal. It's like what they said, try to be normal. And I was like, huh, normal is kind of boring. The word normal is kind of boring. So then I want to create a business that not try to make you fit the society, but rather bring the best out of yourself and be who you are. Because I feel like when you become who you are, you can do that longer and you would do it like for the best, which would eventually, I believe, benefit the society. So if I can come up with this platform, it's kind of like coaching platform, but then use AI technology to kind of like very, very get to know this person and like find the best way to bring the best them out to the world. That would be awesome.
So help people create their business based around who they are uniquely themselves.
Or I would say not technically like business, but just kind of like be who they want to be. Mm-hmm. And after that, they can decide what they want to do.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. I like that you know who you are first, and then you decide what to do about it, instead of, like, so many young people coming to college, you have to decide what you want to do, and then you try and fit yourself into that mold.
Yeah. I just feel like that shouldn't be how the world should be.
Well, I feel like 20 years from now, we're going to be interviewing you again after you've won, won some huge award, because you're changing the world with your platform and how people look at their choices, right? How they choose what to do. But you have already received some accolades. You were recently a speaker at the Distinguished University of Washington 2023 BizTech Forum. Tell us, what was the message that you brought to those aspiring business leaders?
Not gonna lie, it was quite a exciting moment of my life to, like, go to the university. That's, like, a very prestigious university to give, like, some of my own story.
Uh-huh.
So I basically went there and kind of, like, talked through my journey since, like, COVID happened to, like, now.
Mm-hmm.
And what I give them is kind of, like, basically what I told you today, of kind of, like, being yourself is great. And this is the result of me being myself, and this happened, right? And I felt like a lot of people were looking up to me because a lot of people were around my age,
mm-hmm.
as they weren't just like me, like who was like the single speaker, but there was, I think 7 in my section and 30 in total.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like students were really touched. Then they were like, oh, maybe I should just be myself, and kind of like, see what's, like, this will go.
Right. Yeah. Which, in a way, in the long run, is a little bit trickier, right? Because it's also easy for people to look at you and say, I want to do what Todd did. I want to have 200 million views, so I'm going to be like Todd, when your message is actually, don't be like Todd. Be you.
Right, exactly.
What's next for you? What's the big dream besides 400 million views?
Well, the big dream is definitely to stay in the U.S. for longer, as I will graduate next month, November 2023, and I have 1 year to work as an international student, so I would do that, find a job, and then kind of like have this work experience in the U.S. and hopefully gain some insights about the business world in the U.S. And after 1 year work, I want to go for my master in entrepreneurship. And hopefully that will bring the coaching platform that I was talking about become true. And after that, just hopefully I can help a lot of people after that.
Yeah, that sounds like an amazing dream to me. Well, if you're listening to this and you have a business where you need someone unique and creative, you should give Todd a call and hire him for the next year.
Definitely.
What kind of business would you like to work for?
Honestly, I just want to work just to gain some experience at this point, but it has to be related to business for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe something about, like, in a supply chain role where I know where things are from and how it gets to the customer hand.
Mm-hmm.
That would be highly beneficial to me. Or have some role that I could know how to, like, operate a business. So, like, I'm not really sure what the roles are called, but some types of, like, kind of like have a entrepreneurship mind in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So if you have a young entrepreneurial company and you want to hire Todd, give us a call. All right. Well, Todd, you are an inspiration to so many. And I know you are going to do great things. I'm just sure that, like I said, we'll be back again someday learning about the huge award that you've won and all the people that you've helped. So let's ask you our famous last question that all of our guests answer. If you could have everyone in Seattle do one thing differently tomorrow that would make the world a better place, what would you have us all do?
Be yourself, right? I think that's the only message that, if you get that message out from this podcast, I would just be like, that's all I want for you to know today, honestly. Just be yourself.
Be yourself.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. We'll get some bumper stickers printed up and we'll see. We'll see how many people we can get thinking that way.
Yeah.
Todd, thank you so much for coming.
Of course.
And congratulations, and the best to you as you look for that first job.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today, Amanda.